There.
It's on. Sorry.
Did you have verses?
Forgot to put those on. Grab a Bible around you. Unless Whit can somehow. They're in the download. I downloaded them this morning, Whit. So the download file, and you can just throw them on the Easy Worship. And it'll be a second before we look at them, so they'll be up there before I'm done, but there are some here.
It's so fast.
No, we have
them. Man.
Wow, when is this? I'm going to
blow
these for a moment
until
you are ready for
time. Okay, so next week we are beginning our series on the book of Acts. And this week, notice I went through, we started in Palm Sunday, we did the end of Luke. So I'm going to finish with the last few verses of Luke because those verses will transition us right in the book of Acts. And what you'll see is the last passage in Luke is repeated in a different form in the first chapter of the book of Acts. So we're going to see the same thing going on. And it's going to connect these two. And Luke wrote both Luke and Acts. And he wrote them as a two-volume set. And they're meant to be read together. It's important that they are read together because there are themes that run through the gospel of Luke that continue and are further developed in Acts. So as we talked about for the Acts study throughout the summer, our hope is to get as many people involved as possible. And there are numerous ways. So we're just going to call on people to do sermons and then we're going to, and whether you like it or not.
The accent is right.
No. There are numerous ways you can be involved. Yes, we're going to have different people sharing and normal people and a different one. No, sorry. We're going to have... Oh, I'm really digging a hole, right? Keep going. Some will get to share who want to. Some will be able to do some readings. We need people to do some prayers. We need people to do some planning. We need people to do some serving. We need folks at every level for this service because it's not just going to be about Sunday morning services. It is going to be about how do we take what they did 2,000 years ago and then bring it into our world and try to find ways to apply it in our world. And so there's going to be numerous ways to be involved. The way we're going to do it is on most likely Monday night, starting in a week or so, we're going to have Zoom meetings for those who want to be involved. And I will tell you what the theme is because there's that we're going through at this point. If you want to be involved in that, you can jump on the Zoom meeting and we'll have discussion time. It only lasts about 45 minutes and give people different assignments based on what they want to do. So here are the themes in Luke and Acts. And this is what we'll be looking as we go through the Gospel Acts, the book of Acts. First is we're going to start on June 12th. We're going to do introductions and Pentecost leading up to June 5th is Pentecost Sunday. And then on June 12th, we're going to start a theme of prayer. In the first 14 of the first 15 chapters, Luke talks about prayer. In 14 of the first 15 chapters of Acts. So that is important. And with each of these themes, we're going to have a word that we're looking at. So for prayer, the word is going to be engage. And the goal is to for our church to be more engaged as a community in prayer. So the second theme is, these themes may get mixed up in their order. We will start with prayer. Is body life and community from Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. And for this one, we are going to focus on the word gather. How we gather as they gathered. How we can do it today in our context. The third theme is care for the poor and needy. And a word there is going to be identify. And what we are doing is what we will focus on is identifying where the needs are in our church. And then identify how we can begin meeting those needs within our church. The fifth theme is the Holy Spirit. And the reality is we probably don't talk about the Spirit very much in our church. And so the theme is going to be explore, because we should talk about the Spirit more in our church. And we are going to explore how we can involve the Holy Spirit more, or be involved with the Holy Spirit more, maybe a better way of saying it. So the fifth theme is gospel. There are, I think I've mentioned this, there are seven gospel sermons in the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is built around those seven gospel sermons. So the word for that, whoops, I turned my page already. The word for that is compare. What we are going to do is we are going to compare how they preach the gospel with the way we preach the gospel. See if we're doing okay. Finally, I'm six now. Sixth word is suffering and persecution. They experienced a good amount of suffering and persecution, the first church. So maybe not so much for us, but what we're going to look at is the word's going to be exiles. And what we're going to look at is how we are meant to be strangers and aliens in this world. We are exiles. Our citizenship is not in this world. This is not where we belong. We belong in an eternal world, in heaven, a spiritual realm. We're going to look at how to live life as exiles on this planet. And then finally, the seventh. And that is going to be on human barrier. The breaking down of human barriers is the seventh theme. And we're going to look at unity and division. And there's two words for this one. And that's going to be include and exclude. So that's what we'll be doing. That'll give you an opportunity to start thinking about, wow, which of these am I excited about? And you can be involved in all of them if you want. So we'll take as much work out of you as we can possibly get. So let's jump to Luke chapter 24. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Well, that sounds familiar. Last week, same phrase. Very similar phrase said to the women who came to the tomb. And if we go back to last week, this little phrase from the Bible Project, it all points to Jesus. From page one to the final word of the Bible, it's all about Jesus. That must be our focus. In every encounter in Luke post-resurrection, this verse or this phrase is used in one way or another. In every single encounter. If we go to the next slide, and in verse 45, it says, "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture." Again, he has to open their minds for them to believe. And here, and these are the remaining disciples. All of them had to have their mind opened by Jesus. And here he opens their mind to the scripture so that, just like the guys on the road to Emmaus, he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." This is, you know how you ask, you know, if you give an elevator speech. You know, you're in an elevator, you know, and you're only going up a few floors. What would you say? How would you share the gospel with that person? Well, this is it right here. This is it, the gospel condensed. The death and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah. That's the gospel. The death and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah. We preach a person, not a presentation. The gospel is a person. It is not a presentation. Now, we may make a presentation of the gospel, but we must never think it is a presentation. We must always understand that it is a person. Go to the next slide in verse 47. Jesus goes on and says this to them, "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." That should be a reminder, and we'll see what it's a reminder of in a second here. But first I want to mention the word repentance. There's four phrases here that we're going to briefly look at. And repentance, the word means to turn or to change direction. Now, the book of Acts has, like I mentioned, there are seven gospel messages or preaching events. And some of those speak about repentance. And they're preaching the gospel. So when we get to Acts, we will talk about that. But not today. So, and we will see, is the way we use repentance the same way they did? Hint, maybe not. It's a little hint for you. So you can study that between now and that theme. The three phrases we'll focus on, the first one is name, his name to all nations. So that's the first one, to all nations. So when you hear to all nations, and you can throw it out if you're comfortable, what do you think of? I'll throw it out if nobody else does. What was that? The world. So, and yes, we used to use the term, YouTube, reaching the world. Global missions. I think of missionaries going to Africa, South America, Southeast Asia. All those are good and are good applications of the verses that speak about this. Good vision. There's another question we should ask when we read this, and that's this. What did the disciples hear when Jesus said to all nations? The word nations is the word Gentiles. The word is to all Gentiles. And that is important. Because in Luke and Acts, what Luke does is he demonstrates the Jewish people, what was important to them was who was excluded from the people of God and who was included. And see, up to this point, the disciples would have understood all their life the Gentiles excluded. And what Jesus is doing, he's saying that those who have been excluded, he's telling disciples, are now to be included. And for us, when we look at this, we must think, when we think of, yes, we think of reaching the world and global missions, but we must also think of who is excluded. And I would say this, so we must include those Jesus included and only exclude those Jesus excluded from the kingdom. Luke sees this as an important theme. And he makes it clear in his writing of Luke and Acts. He brings this out in what I would say is an ingenious way. It's a little Bible geeky here for a bit. But it's kind of amazing the way he wrote these two books. So in the Gospel of Luke, and I'm kind of paraphrasing one scholar, and what Luke is doing is he's showing the vertical equality and inclusivity of the kingdom. Wow! What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. What Luke does is he includes people, Jesus includes people up and down the social and cultural an economic ladder. He shows people who are poor being included, sinners being included, tax collectors, those who are unclean, those with diseases, the zealous radicals are included. Some rich people are included. Some religious leaders are included. And even Roman soldiers and Roman commanders are included. Many of those were excluded from the people of God by the Jewish people. Jesus is saying, no, now they are included. And then in the book of Acts, What Luke does is he focuses on the horizontal equality and inclusivity of the kingdom. So there he focuses on broader categories. So there it's all about Jew, Gentile, slave and free, men and women. And what Luke shows is that in the kingdom they are all included. They are all equal, and even more, they are all one. They are all one. God said, talking of marriage, said the two shall become one. And in one sense, God's community, that's just a picture, the oneness in marriage is a picture of our oneness with Christ and our oneness with one another. Israel, Jewish people in Jesus' day had a perspective and a worldview that went like this. Israel plus Yahweh against the world. That's how they thought. Israel plus Yahweh against the world. Now, Jesus is like, no, that's never been God's plan. Never God's purpose. All the way back to Abraham. When God called Abraham and blessed Abraham and chose Abraham, he did it why? So that Abraham would be a blessing to all the nations, to all the world, to all the Gentiles. But Israel never fulfilled that, never completed that, never carried that out. In fact, they went the opposite way. The way that what Jesus is saying they needed to look at it was Yahweh plus Israel for the world. And now we need to take that and move it to the church. And to Christians. And I think there are some who, they take the attitude of it's the church and Jesus against the world. As if we're in an athletic competition with the world, a sporting event. Jesus made it really clear. It's Jesus and the church for the world. Those are on opposite sides. And they will fight against, those two ways of thinking will fight against one another. And we'll be constantly in battle with one another. We are connected with Jesus for the world. So who is excluded? Who did Jesus exclude? There are one group of people that Jesus excluded. Those who refuse to believe in Jesus. There you have it. Those who refuse to believe in Jesus, the only group of people that are excluded. The next phrase in this, and if we turn to the next slide, because it gives us Acts 1:8 down there at the bottom. I'm going to look at beginning at Jerusalem, the next phrase. And in Acts 1:8, very familiar, we're all familiar with this. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So why Jerusalem? Why is this so important? Because Jerusalem is the place of God's glory. What is in Jerusalem? The temple. The book of Acts is a story of two temples. And we'll look at that. John Ferentz will be talking a little bit about that in a couple of weeks. But the temple is a place where God was present with his people. And so that's why they must go. It's the place where heaven and earth meet, like the garden, Genesis 2 and 3. And it's the place of salvation. It all starts in Jerusalem because there Jesus completes the story of God. But it doesn't end in Jerusalem. It's very clear in Acts 1:8. You begin there, but you end up, and we used to say it as the remotest part of the earth. Another Bible geek moment. I like how Luke does this. Luke's gospel, after you get through the genealogies, which many of you skip, begins where? John the Baptist's father in the temple. That's the beginning of the gospel. And then the next passage, Jesus is born in Bethlehem, which is very close to Jerusalem. Even though the movies make it sound like they have, you know, it wasn't, but it's very close. And then what happens right after that? Jesus has to go back to Jerusalem with his parents to the temple for circumcision. Then right after that, we find Jesus at the Jordan River. And then Jesus is in Galilee doing his ministry. Galilee is the farthest point away from Jerusalem and Israel. So Jesus goes to Judea, all of Judea. He's all the way up there, and it's going to reverse. So he starts there. He does ministry to the Gentiles. And then in chapter 9 of Luke, verse 51, it says he set his face to go to Jerusalem. So from 9 on, the end of 9 on, it's all about going to Jerusalem. And what does he have to do first to get to Jerusalem? He has to go through Samaria, Acts 1:8. And then he ends up in Jerusalem. And of course, that's where he died. The last 6 chapters take place in Jerusalem. First 7 chapters of the book of Acts take place in Jerusalem. And then, of course, Acts reverses the whole thing. So we go to the next phrase, and that is, in both of these have it, witnesses. You are witnesses of these things. So, the purpose of this movement, they are to move into the world because they are witnesses. So, here's the question. And notice he says, witnesses, not witnessing. And we should be glad of that because witnessing is a hard word. Sometimes we're just not sure what to do with that word. They weren't witnessing, they were witnesses. So, the question we should ask is what did they witness? It's a really easy answer. His life, his death, his teaching, his life, his death, and his resurrection. That's the gospel. That's what they witnessed. That simple, that becomes their simple message. Here's the question then. The application. How do these verses apply to us who live 2,000 years later in the remotest part of the earth? Think about Israel, Jerusalem, when Jesus was saying these things. Where are we living? Though we think we're the center of the earth, we were the remotest part of the earth. We live Ohio. It's the remotest, probably Iowa, but Ohio is the remotest part of the earth. So what do? Well, first of all, we did not personally witness these events. Did any of you? No. None of us are 2,000 years old. We did, however, experience the death, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus through faith. That's really important because our witness as witnesses, our witness is based on a faith experience. We are called to proclaim this historic event, this gospel, this good news, through our personal faith experience. We are to tell the story of the gospel. I'm going to say this. Primarily through our faith story. People need a person who witnessed it. The disciples lived there. They saw it. They were there. They touched his hands. Thomas got to stick his hand in his side, feel the holes in his palms. we need to be that same, even though we weren't there, we need to be that same kind of witness. People who experienced Jesus Christ fully, his life, his death, his resurrection. Diagrams, booklets, Roman roads are all helpful, but they never should replace the telling the story of the gospel through our faith story, through our lives. That's why we not only tell and proclaim, we need to perform the gospel message. We need to live it out. One way of doing that is including those who the world excludes. Tearing down the human barriers and divides. And that is the call to the church of the 21st century, 2020s. Tearing down the barriers that divide, welcoming sinners of every kind through the gospel into the kingdom. That's what Jesus did. Sinners of every kind, through his life, death, and resurrection, he welcomed into the kingdom. The gospel, the good news, that message never changes. It's been the same since it was first spoken. How we communicate that message adapts and changes to the world we are called to. That is missiology 101. If you wanted to become a missionary and you went to school, that is the first thing they will teach you. The message never changes. When you go into a different country, you adapt the method, the way you communicate that gospel, that unchanging message, to the people we're talking to. Our world's changed. Our gospel hasn't. Our methods need to. Our approach needs to. And then in closing, the last verse is here, 49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We can do all this only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I think our theme on the Holy Spirit in Acts is going to be so important, because I think we need to learn how to appropriate the power of the Spirit in our witness. And not and to rely upon the Holy Spirit and not our human power or organizational strategies or anything else to bring the gospel of the kingdom to our world. I think there's too much trust in human power and not enough trust in the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that we would remember this great calling you have called us to. That hasn't changed. We still have the calling. Now, we live in a totally different context than the disciples did. And we must live in this context and work within this context. We ask you to help us to learn how to do that effectively. In your name we pray. Amen.
This is really exciting, Mike. There's lots to look forward to this summer. Let's stand up to sing this last song. He's our rescuer.